The day before his 42nd birthday, May 21st, 1815, Joseph Ivamy arrived to preach his usual Sunday sermon at the Baptist Church at Eagle Street, London. Ordained as pastor of Eagle Street in 1805, Ivamy had occupied the same pulpit for 10 years and had become one of the leading forces of the English Baptist denomination. It was said of him that for many years he was the moving spirit in the London churches. Biographer George Pritchard said of Ivamy in his 1835 biography, "He was a warm friend and zealous advocate of missionary enterprise." It was this zeal for the missionary enterprise that led him to his first acquaintance with the secretary of the Baptist Missionary Society, Andrew Fuller, while Fuller was visiting London in 1807 on official BMS fundraising business. The following years would be marked by frequent correspondence and communication between these two growing friends. In 1812, Ivamy would be invited by Fuller to become a part of the executive management of the BMS. On April the 19th, 1814, the Baptist Society for Propagating the Gospel in Ireland was formed. Ivamy was the first secretary, an honorary office. He visited Ireland in May 1814 and retained this post until October the 3rd, 1833. Ivamy died on February the 8th, 1834 and was buried in Bunhill Fields in London. A little before his departure, he was reported to have said, "Not a wave of trouble rolls across my peaceful breast." The legacy of Joseph Ivamy is seen most vividly in his four-volume, A History of the English Baptists, for which he is most widely known. This Lord's Day at Eagle Street stood in marked contrast to all the rest. Ivamy would not deliver his usual exposition, but instead would reflect on the memory of his dear friend and fellow Baptist Missionary Society member, Andrew Fuller. Fuller, pastor of Kettering Baptist Church, Northamptonshire, died at Kettering about 11 o'clock on the Lord's Day morning of May 7th, 1815, at 62 years of age. The English Baptist world would begin to lament his death with several sermons preached marking the loss of this great stalwart of gospel zeal. Ivamy mounted the pulpit on May 21st, no doubt with much heaviness in his heart, to preach a sermon entitled "The Perpetual Intercession of Christ for His Church, a Source of Consolation Under the Loss of Useful Ministers." He took his text from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." After reading the text, he begins to draw biblical inferences between the death of contemporary ministers with that of the priests of the Old Testament. He says, "As the priests under the law were not suffered to continue by reason of death, so the ministers of the gospel are interrupted by the same cause." He describes the departure of Andrew Fuller as a truly afflictive event and one that needs careful consideration as to the implications for the kingdom of Christ at large. Ivamy begins the body of this memorial sermon by describing how the removal of faithful ministers from their office by death is a cause of deep affliction for the church. He then proceeds to give four reasons why this is so. First, because the condition of unregenerate sinners is thereby rendered increasingly dangerous. Second, because the means of spiritual edification provided for believers are diminished. Thirdly, because there are fewer persons to defend the truth against oppressors. And finally, because their number is reduced, who may be expected to feel compassion for the destitute condition of the unenlightened heathens. This section is concluded with a tribute to Fuller's work in the Baptist Missionary Society. The loss of Mr. Fuller will be severely felt by the Baptist Missionary Society and by the missionaries in India, whose affection for him was very great. The Baptist denomination has lost one of its brightest and most distinguished ornaments. Nor is it too much to say that a man so well qualified to instruct unconverted sinners, to edify believers, to defend the truth against oppressors, and to promote plans for propagating the gospel among the heathen is a source of affliction to the whole Church of Christ. In the second division of the sermon, Ivamy proceeds to explain how such a loss as Andrew Fuller is undergirded by the strong consolation that the Lord Jesus Christ is making perpetual intercession on behalf of His church. Ivamy's thesis emphasizes the comfort that even though prophets, apostles, pastors, or as he puts it, millions of saints have been removed from the earth, and yet the church on earth still remains, and the number of believers multiplied. In other words, though the loss of such an eminent minister as Andrew Fuller is felt greatly in the heart of current ministry and gospel labor, Christ, who remains as the head of the church, continues to build and increase His church. As Ivamy so simply states, though useful ministers die, yet Jesus lives. Ivamy sets forth in the concluding portions of the sermon to sketch a portrait of Fuller's dying experience while also highlighting the prominent features of his personal character. He recounts a letter written by Andrew Fuller to his friend John Ryland Jr. on April the 28th, 1815, just days before his death, of which letter he quotes in its entirety, as you'll find in the sermon transcript. In this correspondence, Fuller is essentially saying farewell to his beloved friend. He writes, "I expect this is nearly over, but I trust we shall meet and part no more." Fuller requests Ryland to preach his official funeral sermon, and with his signature, this is the final communication between these two friends. Ivamy then recalls a letter sent to him from William Burroughs, who was present when Fuller died, written May the 10th, 1815. Burroughs writes a vivid description of Fuller's last moments. In the early part of the morning of the day on which he died, he said to one of the family, just loud enough to be heard, "I wish I had strength to worship with you." By this, he knew it was the Lord's day. He added, "My eyes are dim," and he appeared to be nearly blind. For nearly half an hour before he expired, he was thought to be in fervent prayer. Nothing could be made out of what he said except two words, which were supposed to be, "Help me." He then struggled, sighed three times, fell back, and in 5 minutes expired. Burroughs concluded the letter by saying, "I was the first person who announced his death to Mr. Robert Hall. Hall said, 'A great man is fallen. I scarcely knew a man whose whole life has been so entirely and laboriously devoted to the cause of God. The sermon climaxes with a careful analysis of the honorable and godly character of Andrew Fuller, character that was evidently attested to by all to whom he came in contact. Ivamy describes his personal inadequacy to fully describe such a man's character. He says, "It may, however, be said of him as it was of Barnabas. He was a good man." Regarding Fuller's view and practice of friendship, Ivamy says this, "To those who were indulged with his friendship, he felt and manifested tender affection." Ivamy draws from several personal conversations and correspondence in which he and Fuller had engaged. One particular letter was written by Fuller to him just after the death of John Sutcliffe. Fuller describes, as of late, his personal acquaintance with death. "Brother Sutcliffe's last end was inviolable. Let mine be like his. I feel as one who has had the sentence of death and whose great concern it is whether my religion will bear the test. Almost all my old friends are dead or dying. Well, I have a hope that bears me up, and it is through grace. In viewing my life, I see much evil. God be merciful to me, a sinner." Perhaps the culminating statement of this character examination can be summed up by the following. He was a wise and useful pastor, an affectionate husband and parent, a judicious counselor, and a faithful friend. By his death, the Church of God has experienced no common loss. From the whole view of his character, as I am able to judge, he appears to have been distinguished by the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit in no ordinary degree. Joseph Ivamy does not desire to leave his hearers with the mere adulation of the memory of a man. Instead, he reflects upon Fuller's life and its relevance to the Christian who is left upon this earth to continue the work he began. He concludes this memorial sermon with profitable reflections to the serious Christian. He seeks to build Fuller's legacy into the practice of his hearers by giving them four learned principles or reflections they can apply to their own life. He says, first, we must learn from it, that is Fuller's life, the value of a gospel ministry and the necessity of personal examination. Secondly, Fuller suggests useful lessons to ministers of the gospel to improve their time and opportunities in the service of the church. Thirdly, we are called upon by this solemn subject to inquire how we may increase our exertions in the cause of God so as to supply, if possible, the deficiency occasioned by such deaths. Finally, he says, we may derive confidence from the continual intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ that His church shall not want anything necessary either for its protection or prosperity. These are not only lessons that Ivamy wishes to apply to the lives of his hearers, but it's as almost as if we could hear Ivamy's voice protruding from this sermon text, saying that he wishes and he seeks to apply to his own life these lessons from Andrew Fuller when reflecting upon the departure of this dear friend. The perpetual intercession of Christ for His church is not ostentatious flattery, but on the contrary, is a humble reflection, not only to an eminent figure of theological and pastoral stature, but that of a friend and co-laborer in the gospel. Ivamy's words weave a portrait of a man who loved Christ loved the gospel and gave his life in the advance of Christ with the assistance of many dear friends. Ivamy speaks of a man who admits time and time again that his work could never have been accomplished had it not been for the undergirding of friends, much like Aaron and Hur, who held up the arms of Moses as Israel engaged in battle. Fuller recognizes the friends he has known and lost who have aided in the work of Christ. Ivamy, however, places Fuller in the possession or in the position of Moses and everyone else as holding up the hands of this paragon and example of true gospel character and ministry. Ivamy says, "Surely the language of David concerning Abner, 'Know ye not that a prince and a great man is fallen this day in Israel,' may without any impropriety be applied to the late Andrew Fuller."